Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about understanding the blood covenant and the power of the blood of Jesus this morning. Last time I taught, which was about a month ago, in the middle of the message, the Lord said, next time you teach, teach on the power of my blood. My people need to know that the power of my blood and the power that it has. Hallelujah. Blood covenant defined is an agreement between two parties to cut a covenant by the shedding of blood and walking between the pieces of flesh. In the Bible, an animal was cut down the middle and split in two. After it was split, the parties of the covenant stood in the middle back to back. Then they would walk right through the bloody halves, making a figure eight, and come to a stop facing one another. And it's interesting that the number eight in biblical numerology is the new beginnings. And a covenant is a new beginning, a new start. Hallelujah. Each half represents a member of the covenant. Since the blood covenant is the most solemn covenant, they would point down to the bloody animal and say, God, do so to me if I ever break this covenant. Covenants were lifetime promises. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that for the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life of any flesh is in the blood. And in the medical sense, blood is known to cleanse the body and carries oxygen to all the cells. So the blood is the life. Revelation 1:5, and all of my scriptures are going to be in the New King James except one this morning. But it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So our sins are washed by his blood that was shed. Hallelujah. They're washed away. They disappear. They're made as if they never were. Hallelujah. Because of his blood. The two testaments in the Bible are about the old blood covenant and a new blood covenant. A blood covenant is an ancient rite that was found in every culture. Covenant in the Hebrew is berith, and it means to cut so that the blood flows. And the reasons for forming a covenant was for protection, equality, love, and devotion. The methods of cutting a covenant were the sacrifice of an animal, the deciding the conditions, exchanging gifts, drinking wine together, blessings and curses declared, sign or testimony of the covenant, and the meal of remembrance of the covenant, like bread and wine, and the exchange of names. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant that is formed. We're going to look at God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17, 1 through 6 and then 9 through 10, because the covenant that God made with Abraham applies to us because Abraham is our father of faith, and so this covenant also belongs to us. Hallelujah. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. down to verse 9. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all of these to him and cut them into two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. But in this portion, it shows later how God and Abraham walked through this blood covenant or blood sacrifice to create their covenant. The terms of the covenant were to all generations. And the seal of the covenant was circumcision. That's when they started circumcising, and it was a seal of their covenant together, of the covenant that God had with Abraham. And the blessings of the covenant are found in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And the curses of the covenant are in verses 15 through 61. But now we're going to go to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. And it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so we see that the curse was destroyed by Jesus, but that we still have the blessings. And so since we've been redeemed from the curse, we're going to read the blessings of the covenant as they apply to us now, today. We're going to read Deuteronomy 28 and verses 2 through 13, and this will be in the New Living. And I may make it personal because it applies to us. Say it out loud for yourself. Say it out loud in your heart. It says, I'm going to make it personal. It says, we will experience all these blessings if we obey the Lord our God. Our towns and our fields will be blessed. Douglas will be blessed. The place where we make a living will be blessed. Hallelujah. Our children and our crops will be blessed. Amen. We're blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Amen. Our fruit baskets and our bread boards will be blessed. We'll have lots of food and plenty. Hallelujah. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we will be blessed. Amen. The blessing of the Lord is upon us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord will conquer our enemies when they attack us. They will attack us from one direction, but they will scatter from us in seven. And so when we do have enemies come against us, and we have the enemy come against us, but we have a promise that they may come from one direction, but they will flee before us seven directions. Amen. Good news. Verse 8. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord our God will bless us in the land he is giving us. He's given us Douglas, Arizona, and he will bless us in this land. Hallelujah. Verse 9. If we obey the commands of the Lord our God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish us as his holy people as he swore he would do. Verse 10, then all the nations of the world will see that we are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of us. Hallelujah. They will see that we are God's blessed people. Verse 11, the Lord will give us prosperity in the land he swore to our ancestors to give us, blessing us with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. Amen. Verse 12, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens. The Lord will bless all the work we do. We will lend to many nations, but we will never need to buy or borrow from them. Amen. I'll take that. Amen. Verse 13, if we listen to these commands of the Lord our God that he is giving us today, and if we carefully obey them, the Lord will make us the head and not the tail, and we will always be on top and never at the bottom. Amen. That's our covenant. Hallelujah. And our promise. God told Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 2 through 3, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Partnership is a form of covenant. The Lord says, told Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, and those that curse you, I will curse. And so we also call this partnership. Amen. And when God called us into this ministry on September 29th, 1985, he told us, arise and go forth on a new venture of faith, and I will bless you and use you and keep you safe. These are the terms of the covenant that God made for us and to us as faith ministries. He said, arise and go on a venture of a faith. And we, every time we go on a venture of faith, he's been faithful to bless us and use us and keep us safe. And those that join in with us, that help us in our venture of faith, they can also expect or entitled to the blessings of being blessed, used, and kept safe. So people who bless us, just like people who blessed Abraham were blessed, people who bless faith ministries in the covenant that God made with us and the promises that he made us are also entitled to these blessings of being blessed, being used, and being kept safe. Hallelujah. And you all are partners in this endeavor of faith. Amen. In Hebrews 11, Abraham received all of the promises by faith, and we are inheritors of Abraham's promise. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. And so we have the promises of Abraham. And Galatians 4:4-7 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. That's good news. We're no longer a slave, but a son of God. Hallelujah. And an heir of all that God has. The terms of this new covenant, God says, I'll take all your liabilities, all your sins on myself, and become sin for you. I'll forgive your iniquities and remember them no more. I'll take all your self-righteousness and give you my own righteousness, which is pure and holy and acceptable to me. Hallelujah. You clothe me with your robe of sin, and I'll clothe you with my garment of salvation and my robe of righteousness, which is my pure life blood poured out on the cross for you. I'll impute it to you and count you as righteous. Hallelujah. We'll exchange names, for I'll put my spirit within you and bless you with all spiritual blessings. You'll partake of my own nature by the intermingling of our blood. You can become part of me, and I'll live in your heart. My house will be your house, and you can feast at my table. I'll be a father to you and adopt you as my very own sons. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're his very own sons. And we enter into the new covenant by believing. John 3:16-17, you probably all know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. And the results of believing are found in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. And the results are also in John 5:24, where it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. That's good news. Amen. And the position of this covenant that we've made with God is found in Romans 8:17. And it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. We're children of God. We're heirs of God. We're heirs of all the kingdom of heaven has to offer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And the seal of the covenant in the Old Testament was circumcision. In the New Testament, a new covenant, the seal is the circumcision of the heart or the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2, we're going to read 11 through 15. In him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting the off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Amen. Good news. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. We have a new life. We have a new covenant with God. Amen. Ephesians 1:12-13 says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the significance of that seal is in Romans 8:16. And it says, the Spirit himself also bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. When we have made Jesus our Lord, that Holy Spirit bears witness inside of us that we are God's very own children. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It says you are a called generation. Did you know that there's only one generation after Jesus? Every child of God is a first generation. You know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. We're all born children. We're born in Christ. We're born in the family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're called a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are ratified by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:12. It says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, they had to continually offer blood sacrifices for the sin. But when Jesus shed his blood, he paid the ultimate sacrifices. That was the last sacrifices he paid for all sin, for all time. Hallelujah. It's paid for. It's done. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Equality is one of the things of the covenant that we have. Ephesians 4:7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. And protection comes with this covenant. John 10:28-29 says, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Isn't that good news? That when we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, the enemy can't snatch us out of God's hands, that we're protected, we're held as his children. Good news. Amen. And then the meal of the covenant is what we do for communion in Matthew 26:26-28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many as for the remission of sin. Every time we take the bread, we're partaking of the Lord's body. Every time we drink the cup, we're partaking of his blood. His blood is mingling in us. Hallelujah. It's in there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We remember it. It's the meal of our covenant. We do it to remember that we have a covenant with the Almighty God. The strength of our warfare against Satan came through what Jesus did on the cross and the power of his blood. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. The blood of Jesus is the token or symbol of our covenant with God. At the first Passover, they applied the blood over their doorpost with a hyssop branch. Now we apply the blood of Jesus by faith because we believe in the power of the blood in our hearts. And we apply the blood of Jesus over our doorpost, over our house, by faith. You know, we say, I do this in prayer all the time. I bring the church people to the Lord, and I say, I just cover them with the blood of Jesus. Anytime, remember in that first Passover, anywhere the blood was, the enemy had to pass over, and they couldn't touch it. And there is great power in covering our lives with the blood of Jesus. When we cover our lives with the blood of Jesus, the enemy and the plans of the enemy have to just pass right on over us. Hallelujah. It can't stay. It can't be there. I read a testimony this morning. There was a Billy Brim had said in a book that she wrote about the blood of Jesus, she said that there were four people killed in a crash with a train. They got on the railroad track and four people, and three died and one lived. But the one that lived that morning, that mother had prayed for that son and covered him with the blood of Jesus. And he wasn't even walking with the Lord, but she had covered him with the blood, and the enemy couldn't take his life. It's important every day to cover our family members with the blood of Jesus, to cover our church, to cover those that are in our field of influence. Cover them with the blood. Cover them with the blood, because there is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Mighty power in the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Hebrews 9:12-14 and then down to verse 22. It says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered and made the way for us to enter in. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Down to verse 22. "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." 1 Peter 1:18-19. It says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. We were redeemed by the blood that he shed for us. Hallelujah. When I was growing up, we used the blood of Jesus and talked about the blood of Jesus a lot. And we would use the term, "I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus." But plead in this instance isn't a begging. But plead in the scriptures is legal terminology. One Hebrew word translated plead is the root word R-E-E-V, rev. In its verb form, it means dispute, controversy, case at law. To plead the blood is to hold it up as a token of our legal covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we plead the blood, we're saying, "I hold this up as my legal covenant with God." When Satan, the accuser of the brethren, comes to accuse us, instead of saying, "I plead guilty," we say, "I plead the blood. I've been covered. My sins are washed away. I've been made whole. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. I am no longer. I am free. I am washed clean and white. This doesn't apply to me anymore. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm now part of the royal family. I'm a child of God, an inheritor of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. By his blood, I'm washed whiter than snow. Hallelujah. Whiter than snow. My sins have been washed from as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. I plead the blood of Jesus. When Satan comes to accuse us, we can say, "I plead the blood of Jesus." I hold it up as a case at law that his blood has covered my sins. Hallelujah. We can do that with our healing. We can say, "I hold up," or "I plead the case of law that Jesus took stripes for my healing." I hold it up. It's a case in law. I hold it up. I plead the blood of Jesus over my healing because it was paid for. Amen. Amen. It's a legal term. Hallelujah. I want to share a testimony from the book Blood and Glory by Billy Brim. A minister and his wife named Stevens were conducting meetings in Canada in a large church. They had their children at home in the southeastern part of the United States in the care of grandparents. The Canadian meetings were inflicting great damage to the kingdom of darkness. Many were coming to new life in Jesus, and many were being set free from the bondage of Satan. Because of this success, the devil became infuriated and began to torment Brother Stevens with the thought that he was going to kill the Stevens children. And Brother Stevens said, "Devil, you're a liar. You cannot kill my children." To this, the devil seemed to say, "Oh, yes, I can, for I have put rabies upon the foxes in the woods adjoining your property." Immediately, Brother Stevens remembered the reports of friends who had seen foxes roaming on his land before he left Tennessee. In simple childlike faith, Brother Stevens gathered together three other believers. Together they agreed in prayer, and by faith they drew a bloodline of protection around the Stevens property. A week later, Brother Stevens received a letter from his brother back in Tennessee, and he said, "Today I was out walking. I walked around the edge of your property. Lying on the boundary of your land, I found five dead foxes. We had the heads examined and found they were all rabid. The foxes had dropped dead when they tried to cross the bloodline." Hallelujah. That's just an awesome testimony that we have the power to place a line of the blood of Jesus around all we own and all we have. Hallelujah. And the enemy that tries to cross it cannot succeed. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good news. Many years ago, when Becky was a little girl, Calvin and I moved into an old house that was on some property that Calvin's dad rented for grazing cattle. And we moved in, and the house was haunted. It was terrible. I mean, we had many people, visitors, come to see us that would see evil spirits. And every night at midnight, the devil would come in and just fear. Our children would wake up just screaming bloody murder at midnight every night. And we would get up, we would command them to leave, they would leave, and we'd go back to sleep. And then every night they'd come back. And we says, "Okay, God, what can we do?" And so the Lord led Calvin to pray over some red paint, and he says, "Okay, this paint is a symbol of the blood of Jesus," and he put a little red cross over the doors and the windows, and he said, "Satan, you cannot come here anymore. This is a symbol of the blood, and we forbid you to come past the blood of Jesus." And they never, ever came back again. I mean, that was the last time they were there. Hallelujah. And we put, by faith, a symbol of the blood of Jesus. And I think we could have done the same thing with our words. We put cover this household with the blood of Jesus, and you can't enter here. Hallelujah. I think that would have done the same thing, but we did a physical thing. If we're going to see the devil this here, this stands for the blood of Jesus, and you can't enter in. And he never came back. We heard later that some people across from us that same night that they couldn't come back here anymore, there was a big ruckus among their goats, and they just was doing all kinds of crazy things, and we think that those demons just went across the street and was bothering the goats. So, but anyway, they didn't ever bother us again, because there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's just power in the blood of Jesus. It's awesome that we need to use it every day in our lives. We need to pray and put the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of our households, the doorpost of our lives. Cover our family, cover our children, cover our grandchildren, cover church members as you think about it with the blood of Jesus. And we do this a lot in our town, in our prayer times. And as we're driving around town, we thank you, Jesus, that the blood of Jesus is over this town. Amen. We just, there is power in the blood of Jesus, and we have authority to use that blood. Amen. To bless, to protect. It's part of our covenant with the Lord. Amen. Now we're going last to Revelation 1, and we're going to read 5 and 6. Hallelujah. And it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us. It's so amazing that he loved us. Amen. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. God has made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. We are inheritors of all that heaven has to offer. We are inheritors of the kingdom. We are part of the ruling force of heaven, the kings and priests. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that's been poured out in our behalf. We thank you for the blood covenant that we are a part of, that we have signed on the line, that we've given our lives to you. Oh, and you just took all of our wickedness and you clothed us with your righteousness. Father, we just thank you for your power, for your glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that Nai Ohai Alinea She, we thank you, Lord, for blowing away any fogginess that's in our mind, in our spirits, just blowing away, clearing out any fogginess of mine. Lord, give us eyes to see through your eyes, that we look through the eyes of Jesus, that we see what you want to do and what you are doing, Father. We just thank you, Father, for your power, for your blood. Father, we declare over this people that this shall be a victorious year and a victorious people and body of Christ. Lord, we just thank you. Nai o riashe, Father, we choose to put our trust in you, for you are trustworthy. We choose to put our trust in you, for the things that's impossible for us are possible with you. Nai o ashe ni ayondo metikiai o she, Father, allow us to see through the eyes of faith. For this coming year, open our eyes to see and, oh, I say, to have your vision, to have your heart. Oh, la kairia she, tiandai roche. I thank you, Lord, for drawing us ever closer to you. We ask for an increase of your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Korayashi. Thank you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Tai oriashinda onanani. Horayashindi di 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 di. Horayashe ni ote ishi. Do you have a prayer or anything? Thank you, Jesus. I ote ni di 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 in.
Let's all stand to our feet, please. I know many of us have family members that need God. Some need to be born again. Some need to be healed. There's things in their life that are just, you know, hurting. And I just want us to take our place this morning as representatives of the kingdom of God. And I want us to take our place as representatives of the blood of Jesus. And I want us to begin to cover that loved one or that person or that family. Is whoever God brings up in your heart this morning, whoever that person is, he brings them up in your heart. You know, as family members, we have a certain obligation to pray for family. Not only do we desire to pray for family, but it's an obligation to care for our families. And I just want you to begin to see that loved one and begin to plead their case, just like if you were in the court of law and the devil stands and says, that loved one of yours is a mess, that loved one of yours is lost, that loved one of yours is going to die, the devil will accuse and accuse and accuse. But I want you to be in God's court this morning, and I want you to stand up and with strong spirit, just speak against that accuser and say, I plead the blood of Jesus in the case of my loved one. I plead the blood of Jesus in the case of my loved one. The blood of Jesus declares their freedom, their liberty, their innocence. The blood of Jesus declares their safety, their health, and their well-being. In Jesus' name, I declare the blood of Jesus over the case of my loved one. And before the judge of the universe, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. We don't plead guilty. We don't plead innocent. We plead the blood. And the blood will cover and take care of all of that. In Jesus' name, just begin to pray it. Pray along that line. Begin to declare and proclaim along that line. Begin to plead your loved one's case this morning by pleading the blood. Lord, I believe in Jesus' name that we will see differences. We'll see differences in our loved ones. We'll see change in our loved ones. I believe, Lord, that as they are free from guilt, they'll begin to seek God. They'll begin to pull themselves up out of the miry clay and the muck of this world and begin to seek God. Lord, I see our loved ones seeking the Lord. I see them coming to the Lord. I see them enjoying the things of God and embracing the work of God. Father, I thank you for allowing us the opportunity this morning to stand in as a witness and to stand up for our loved ones. And I thank you, sir, for shedding your blood on Calvary's tree that we might have a legal plea in behalf of those we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God is the judge? You know, if the devil was a judge, we'd all be in a mess, wouldn't we? But he's only the accuser. God is the judge, and our plea is the blood. The case is ours. In Jesus' name.